better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Nick Mason, some point in time, will be joining us. Looking forward to having him on. So, which, you know what that means? When we have Nick Mason on, we're going to talk basketball because you don't want to hear Nick talking about football. And I don't even think Nick wants to hear himself talk about football. So, we'll talk some basketball. So, if you have any basketball questions, anything on recruiting, whatever it is, we'll wait until he shows up again. I don't know when that's going to be. Let's just hope it's here very soon so that way I don't have to keep teasing it and look like an idiot when he doesn't show up. But
is he driving from far away?
From Fayetteville, I think, or either that or the casino, one of the two.
Oh, gotcha.
So if it's the casino, it's not that far. You know, he used to have it to where when he would come in on the mornings more consistently, back when I guess he was a good hard worker, he would have the limousine from the casino drive up and drop him off here at the studio.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that was more of convenience or more of I just want to make a statement by me rolling up in a limousine here into borrowing Arkansas studios here.
I mean, that impresses a lot of people around here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would. Me
the
and Tommy were
next door. They.
Oh, yeah. Me and Tommy were so impressed. We were so impressed by that. But I was more upset that he never offered it to me to give me rides around town. But I don't have that sort of clout at the casino because I don't go to the casino every night. So maybe one day I'll get to that point. So let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
KJ Jefferson will play. People just need to relax. But he's a true freshman now. You can't expect he's a true freshman. He's not going to put him out there the whole game, I don't think.
Right.
Unless he just come out there and sets the world on fire. But, you know, you wonder who is going to play quarterback. Is it going to be Hicks? Is it going to be Starkle? Is it going to be John Stephen Jones, or is it going to be KJ? Because really, nobody's took the control of the quarterback job, and we're 8 games into the season, so I don't know. I mean, it's up in the air.
Well, Danny, real quick, let me ask you, what do you make of my comment, and do you agree with it about as far as Arkansas quarterbacks and how Razorback fans have maybe been a little spoiled, not this year and last year, not trying to say that, but maybe we're spoiled a little bit having Ryan Mallett, Tyler Wilson, Brandon Allen, then Austin Allen in consecutive eras. Because it's like you would take any of those guys right now straight up.
Absolutely. You know, and Brandon Allen, he's going to get his first NFL start Sunday.
That's right.
So good for him. No, when Brandon and Austin were there, everybody was saying, well, you're just starting them because they're the Allen brothers, you know, and the coaches on. No, they were good.
Yes, they were.
I would sell out. I remember Brandon Allen throwing 5-6 touchdowns in several games. I would like to see that.
Yeah, I would take that.
And Austin Allen as well. And actually, 3 out of the 4 you mentioned were from the state of Arkansas. And Ryan Mallon, just across the border there in Texarkana.
Mm-hmm. And grew up a Razorback fan and had lived in Arkansas before.
Yeah, you're talking about home kids.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that these guys, just because they're from Texas, can't get it, but I'm just you just wonder who is going to take the reins and say, I want this job and I'm going to keep it. Are they going to get a chance? You know, when John Stephen came in, he kept those defensive ends from getting all over the quarterback. They had to slow up. They had to stop. And if you'll notice, a lot of these teams, they do that and throw these little 5-yard passes. Just do what we can do. If it's a 5-yard pass, let Treylon Burks turn it into a 60-yard gain. I mean, that's well within the realm of possibility, you know. Do what you can do. Don't try to throw a 60-yard pass. You ain't got time. Your offensive line, it's not gonna hold up. Do what you can do. Move the ball. Thanks for taking my call, guys, and have a good day.
Hey, you as well, Danny. Always appreciated, man. And that's what I think that most people just want to see. They just want to see this team be able to field an offense that doesn't have to be spectacular, does not have to throw the ball over the field, does not have to be you know, a Bobby Petrino type of offense year three with Ryan Mallett. Like, no one's expecting that. They're just expecting this team, this offense, to have some sort of strength. There's got to be some sort of strength here, okay? And if they have that strength, whatever it is they're good at, which I believe there's got to be something they're good at, whatever it is they're good at, do it. If it's just quick passes, five-yard passes to Treylon Burks, do it as much as possible. If it's little screen passes, do it. If it's handing the ball off to Rakeem Boyd, do it. Keep doing it. Make sure you utilize whatever your strength is. And again, I know that this team probably doesn't have a lot of strengths, but just utilize it to the best of your ability. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. I remember back when Danny Ford had a problem between Lenny and I think his name was Peanut Adams. Who's going to start? Who's going to be the quarterback? It went up to game day. And I remember players then saying it screws them up. You know, the cadence, the plays, working with their receivers, and it just does nobody any good for the coaches not to be able to make a decision. I remember players then, I said in the early 90s, just saying, make a decision. We'll work with it. We'll go with whoever it is. We just need to be able to work with that guy, because the longer it goes, it just messes up the team, as well as us fans who get to read. Wally Hall actually mentioned the word quarterback controversy, and he's been avoiding it all year, it seems like, but he finally mentioned it today. Just a mess. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, David. Yeah, it is a mess. It is a mess because you should be able to, as a team and as a, especially an offensive guy like Chad Morris, you should be able to identify who your best quarterback is, your quarterback option, and then just roll with them where there's no questions asked. You shouldn't be heading, like, you're going into the final four games of the season and nobody has a dadgum clue who the quarterback's going to be. Nobody has an idea. It could be one of four options. One of four. How is that leading to success? How is that going to get you to be a better football team? That's the problem. I think that there's talent at the quarterback position on Arkansas. I really do. Maybe not high-level talent. Maybe not even SEC talent, but talent nonetheless. They're good enough to make plays. And you don't even know, heading into the final four-game stretch of the season, who it's going to be. And this is the second straight year of it. Is it like, why should I believe it'll be any better next year at quarterback? Because you lose Ben Hicks, but you're going to have Nick Starkle, KJ Jefferson, Grandbaby Jones will still be there. Then you'll have Chandler Morris into the mix, assuming that Chad Morris comes back and everything like that. But are you going to go through this carousel all the time where you just don't, you're heading into game A? Well, I wonder who your quarterback's going to be today. Jeez, I just can't imagine. Can't imagine that. I don't want to imagine that. You can't have that if you want to be a successful football team. And I think Chad Morris knows that. But for whatever reason, they are struggling to try to figure out who's the best guy to put behind center. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Don is in Greenwood. What's going on, Don?
Good morning. I agree with the last caller. It misses the whole rhythm of the team. But there, he's going to play KJ Phipps because he's got four games he can play.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play him for one reason only. He's auditioning for a job. Now, will he go this year? Probably not. We'll probably have him another year. We'll probably have the coach another year just because of the money. But he is auditioning for the job. He's going to play KJ, and this is what he's hoping. He's hoping KJ sets the world on fire, wins four games, and he looks back and says, everybody, hey, we're 6-6. That's great. I mean, that's what he's praying for. Him not being able to make a decision. Man, this guy ain't made a decision at all. But I know y'all don't agree with it, but he can't even make a decision to move to Fayetteville. This cat, I'm not surprised. He at the beginning of the season, we didn't know he was going to play. Can you imagine being on that team and not knowing who the quarterback is? Who's going to hand you the ball every time? But the reason he's going to do it is because he's auditioning for a job. He's going to play KJ Jefferson. Now, flip that coin. Do you want to be KJ behind that line? Think about that. Do you want to be that young man behind that line? I'm just saying. I will be very surprised if KJ does not play. As far as Stark will be in here next year, he's gone. He's a loser. He's out of here. Trust me. He'll all of them will be out. They're going to they'll just cycle out. They'll just be gone. You guys have a good day. See you.
All right, Don. Well, appreciate it, man. Listen, going back to your original comment, as far as you know, the family of Chad Morris not moving up here and everything, I will say this. There's some people that have brought it up. I don't feel as strongly about it as some, but I think that the more I have thought about it and the more I have looked at all the reasons why people may have an issue with it, I can kind of see it because of the perception. And I coined the great phrase from Nolan Richardson. I don't know if it's his phrase, but that's how I remember saying it. Was perception is the key to everything. And the perception is that it's like, man, you didn't move your family up here. It doesn't look good. You know, and especially comparison. I don't want to throw comparisons around, but then you like compare it to Eric Musselman and when he moved here and his family and how involved they've been with the team, with the program, with the community. It just doesn't look good. And also, let's be honest, folks. That's not a topic that gets brought up if he's winning. It's always when he's losing. Is that an issue? And it becomes an issue. But I may have softened my stance on that whole situation. As far as the Starkle thing, man, I'm not going to call a kid a loser. Come on now. I mean, he's trying. He's a college kid. He's a college football player. I mean, I don't know if he'll be back. I don't know. I don't know who will be back or who won't be back. I don't know. This transfer portal has just thrown a whole can of worms into the whole thing because I never know. Player by player, game by game, season by season, I never know who's going to leave. We are the Morning Rush brought to you by Crabtree RV. The fall sale, aberration sale is here at Crabtree RV. Take advantage of RV show pricing on hundreds of new models. Deer Hunter specials under $10,000 and wholesale to the public prices and dozens of pre-owned RVs. And the most money for your trade, the deals are so good, it is scary. Crabtree RV, exit 13 off I-40 next to the Cracker Barrel. Crabtree RV, where your family's dreams come true. Had a few people texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Michael from Bentonville says, I understand there are some issues with the coach making a decision, but there's also an issue with these quarterbacks taking that decision and making it form by performing at a high level. That's absolutely true, Michael, and that is a great point. That if one of these quarterbacks would just show the consistency and stability that they could be able to be the guy, prove to Chad Morris, prove to Joe Craddock, prove to the team that you are the guy, then this isn't even an issue. Absolutely. However, this is where the lack of access or the lack of understanding what goes on in these practices comes into play. And I'm not going to get on my, you know, my, what is it called? When you get on your high horse, there we go. I'm not going to get on my high horse.
Or almost, your soapbox.
Or my soapbox. Maybe that's better. whatever the terminology you want to use. But I will say that when you don't have a lot of openness, that's a word, I made it one. If you don't have a lot of openness when it comes to your transparency of your program and of your practices and whatnot, which Chad Morris and the staff has not done, then that's becomes to where us in the media have to start guessing and starting trying to put the pieces behind closed doors a little bit and saying, all right, I don't know exactly what's happening at practice, but given the results on the field, I'm going to go ahead and say that whatever they're doing ain't working. Especially with quarterbacks. And so that would be my idea behind the whole quarterback thing is I get that the quarterbacks are the ones that need to step up. The players need to step up and make the decision for Chad Morris. Absolutely agree. But what's going on in those practices behind closed doors that we can't see that may be hindering these quarterbacks from stepping up?
Are other schools in the SEC more open with their practice and letting media members
in? Certain ones are.
But do you think Arkansas is even more ridiculous with it, with being shut off?
Since I've been, quote unquote, covering Arkansas, they are, Chad Morris and the staff has been the most closed off of any other staff previously.
I remember when they made the change.
Yeah. Because, like, even Bielema, he didn't have a whole, like, as time went on, he did less and less. But he would even have, like, more, you felt like you had more access to the coaches and players themselves to interview them, at least. Maybe not all the practices. Bobby Petrino just would sometimes open up practices straight up and tell somebody when during the Twitter era when Star Get Going went out and reported that Niall Davis had gotten hurt in practice and then Niall Davis's mom found out about it before coaches had a chance to talk to her. So that was a whole ordeal. But my point is that if we had more access, if we had a better understanding of what goes into the planning and preparation of these quarterbacks and of this team, I believe we would be able to translate it more to the fans in the media. But when we don't have that is when we have to start guessing, essentially, because that's what I do. That's what Clay does. That's what anybody else you follow on social media that is a quote-unquote media member of Arkansas, that's what they do. And so maybe that's why I'm putting it more on the coaches, because we don't know. What we know is that the starting quarterback struggles every single game. That's what we know. And if he's struggling every single game, that leads me to believe that whatever they're doing for him to get him prepared for the game is not working, is not a good system, whatever it is. And it could be as simple as game planning itself with the X's and O's. It can be getting enough reps in practice or repetition. It could be building his confidence, getting the team rallied around him. I mean, it could be numerous amount of things. But it is just baffling to me how we come here week after week, game after game, and start asking the same questions about quarterback. And we've done this now that Chad Morris has been here for a season and plus almost two full seasons. Folks, he has played six different quarterbacks. And I'm trying to do the math in my head. Let's say 20 games. There we go. Essentially 20 games as the head coach at Arkansas. There's been six different quarterbacks. And not one of them has been able to find any sort of groove. Now it is, and here's the whole kicker and the whole ordeal. I know we're getting some text messages. I'll read them now. But here is the whole weird thing about it. Last year, you had Cole Kelly and Ty Story and Connor Nolan. We know that situation. But Ty Story was good enough to transfer to Western Kentucky, and now he's the starter, and now he's doing really well, or at least well enough to win. Good for him, and I'm proud of him. But then you had someone like Ben Hicks, who was good enough to start at SMU and have pretty good stats as far as numbers, touchdowns, yardage. I know it's SMU, but still, he was at least good enough to find some consistency there. Nick Starkle was good enough to start at Texas A&M and an SEC school, put up some good stats. But yet when they play at Arkansas, whether it's Ty Story or Nick Starkle or Ben Hicks, when they come to Arkansas, then it all just goes to crap. That's my biggest concern. It's not that you've had to rely on a bunch of guys that's never played before. Ty Story and Cole Kelly last year had some experience, especially Cole Kelly. Not a lot, but some. Couldn't do anything with them. You bring in Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle, both of them, especially Hicks, has a ton of experience. Again, I know it's SMU, but still, experience in college football. And you can't find anything with them. It just doesn't make sense to me. Why is it when these guys come to Arkansas, or before they leave Arkansas, while they're at Arkansas, they can't find any sort of consistency at all? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And that's the problem. A few people texting in the Cherokee Casino Hotline. This comes from the 870. He says, Chad Morris picked Starkle as a starting QB and he crapped the bed, so now they got nobody. Well, he didn't pick Starkle at first. It took him a while. I mean, it was essentially the Colorado State game is when he decided that Nick Starkle was going to be the starter. And against Ole Miss, probably should have been the starter. But at this point, man, it's just like, it seems like it was so far away from the beginning of the season. Jeffrey from Dirk says, if you're the laughingstock of college football, wouldn't you make yourself scarce too? I don't know what he's talking about. I guess the practice is not being open. And that, you know, it's a funny comment, but it might be a comment that has a little truth to it as well. Because I'm telling you right now, if I sucked on this radio show, which maybe I do, you know, maybe you believe I do, and that's fine. I'm okay with it. For some reason, I'm still employed. So, Tommy, I'm at least doing enough to keep Tommy happy. But if I was awful at this show, I would not want you to see what I'm doing behind the scenes, because then you'd start questioning everything. Be like, obviously, he's doing that. And I don't know if that's the right way of doing it, but I know that it's not working. So therefore, that's a dumb way to do it. It's the same way in football. Chad Morris could be having a drill or a program or something put into place for these quarterbacks that the freaking New England Patriots do with Tom Brady. It could be the exact same thing. And we could see that. And we could see Chad Morris doing it. But we would say, and I would say it too, nope, that's not working. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's supposed to do. I don't know what your goal in that, but I know that it's not working. So stop it. Change it. Be the same thing. But JT in Hot Springs texts in. He says, John, at this point, who really cares? Let's just get to basketball season.
That's why we need Nick to be
here. Yeah. Well, again, taking him one watch. Nick Mason, late as usual. Maybe the limousine service wasn't available this early in the morning from the casino.
You know, it's raining, so they're probably driving a little slow.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The weather may be a holdup there. But don't worry, JT. We're going to talk some basketball. Don't you worry. Let's see. This comes from the 479. Says, looks like it got more to do with poor offensive line play. That's just me. Listen, whoever you are from the 479, make sure you give me your name. I don't disagree that the offensive line has been bad. The offensive line, though, has not been awful, so awful that the quarterbacks can't find any consistency. It's not like, to me, the offensive line was much worse as far as sacks and everything, dealing with Austin Allen in his final year. I guess that was in 2017. Dude was getting killed. I don't see Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle. That, again, not saying it doesn't happen. Not saying they don't get sacked. Not saying they don't get hurried. But the way that this offense is built is to help quarterbacks from getting sacked. There's not a lot of seven-step dropbacks like you used to see with Austin Allen. There's none of that. So I just don't see that being a factor. At least not this year. Offensive line's bad, but it's not that bad. Let's just be honest. Morning Rush brought to you by World of Wireless, your local Dish dealer. Call Ben at 877-305-DISH. That's 877-305-3474 to lock in your price for 2 years with Dish. Whole home DVR service, high def in every room. Movie channels for free for the first 90 days with free local installation from a local company that you can count on. Call 877-305-DISH and ask about bundling high-speed internet with Dish when you call WOW now. That's 877-305-DISH. 3474 for World of Wireless. It's a What's Your Beef Wednesday, which we'll be doing around 7:30-ish this morning. Actually, maybe doing it a little earlier than that. Again, it's all just predicated on if Nick Mason shows up, which I know all of you are waiting with bated breath for him to show up. But we'll talk some basketball. Don't worry. And if you have any basketball questions, I know it's been really good for recruiting and Eric Musselman and some of the things that he's been doing. If you have any questions about basketball to ask Nick, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino hotline at 877-377-6963. Also, voice your displeasure, voice your beefs, all that fun stuff. I actually got a text from the 479 says, let's talk about them bringing NCAA football back on PlayStation because they're starting to pay athletes. That's on the agenda as well, my man. I want to bring that up because it looks like, as of yesterday, the NCAA has made tremendous strides in trying to get players compensated for their likeness and image. Now, I lean towards allowing that to happen. I'm fine with it. But the amount of extremes that have been shown where it's either you're on one side of the aisle or the other, you're the all in or all out.
I mean,
out.
Where does it end, John?
I'm telling you.
Wait, we're going to play basketball players now and everything?
Too. Baseball players, softball players.
Yeah, volleyball.
This is just awful. But we'll talk about that and a lot more in the second hour of the show here on The Morning Rush. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We got Nick Mason in studio with us today, and he just made a comment about the music, and he says how it's finally good music. We talked about it yesterday, Matty T, that when Tommy's gone, we're actually able to open up the music library. Yeah. Not the old beer drinking country all the time.
Nothing wrong with Randy Travis.
No.
George Strait. But sometimes you got to mix it up.
Sometimes you got to mix it up and throw a little old Kanye into the mix. So, but
this was before he found religion.
Yes. Well. Whatever he found, because sometimes it looked like he found religion, but his religion was himself.
Or it's not what he found. Sometimes it's what he lost. Like he lost all of his medication.
Yeah, he probably lost his marbles more than anything. But yeah. So. Which, by the way, also real quick, it was really sad to see that John Witherspoon died this morning. And of course, he's famously known for a lot of roles, but the one I know him for, of course, is
Friday.
From Friday, yes, Craig's dad.
I thought he died.
Wow. He was still doing stand-up.
Yeah, he's 77 years old, I think.
I remember he was in Memphis a year or so ago.
Yeah. You thought he's already been dead?
Yeah.
Oh. No, he's... I don't think so. I mean, it was announced this morning.
We know he's not going to have heard that, and so his feelings won't be
right. Yeah, exactly. We know he'll no longer be here. But, yeah, it was really sad to see. But since Nick Mason is in studio with us, I mean, we'd be remiss if we did not talk some Razorback basketball. And Nick, I think the question that everybody has is dealing, of course, in recruiting, where people, they're cautiously optimistic, but it certainly looks like a lot of these big-time players, and in this case, especially someone like Moses Moody, might be leaning towards coming to Arkansas.
Man, and I've been saying for the longest that I didn't think that Arkansas was going to be able to pull it off. I didn't think they were going to get Moody, nor did I think they were going to get KK, and it's looking like they're probably going to get both of those guys, which would be a huge first year for Musselman. I think it would mean as much on paper as it actually would mean on the court, because that's the thing that people don't quite get still to this day. And I remember in the summer, maybe when we were talking about the football team, everybody's talking about how these wide receivers were going to be so good. And I kept bringing up, but as a freshman, you can only do so much. Now, you can do a lot more in basketball
for sure
than you can in football, but you can count on a couple hands how many times that teams that are playing freshman majority of the minutes have had success. Now, of course, Kentucky does it year in and year out, but if you look at their most successful teams, it's been because they've had upperclassmen as well. But yeah, I mean, it looks like that the lean is definitely for Arkansas. I've gotten a bunch of calls over the last couple of days talking about that. A few people that I trust and that know a little bit more about the situation than I do, and they've just counted. Because if you look at his last three, and you look at Michigan, and you look at Virginia, and then you look at Arkansas, I just kind of go back to, I would be a lot more worried if the last three were, you know, Duke, North Carolina, Arkansas, or Kentucky, Kansas, Arkansas, or North Carolina, Kentucky, you know.
Right.
But if you're looking at those other programs, yes, they have had more success as far as winning games and those different things, but it's not like they've been a pro factory. Those guys, it's not like they have a first round guard each and every year, and they just continue to pump those guys in the league. So yeah, I do think that Arkansas has a great shot at getting KK and Moses, and I would almost go out to say it's almost out of KK and Moses. I think almost for sure they at least get one.
Okay. And what about a guy like Chris Moore? Because I know that's been another name that's been thrown around.
Yeah, I think he's coming too. I think it was big that you were able to flip Devontae Davis early on. Him and Chris Moore have a really good relationship. I know it's going to be tough to beat out Memphis for a kid that's right there in West Memphis, and Penny Hardaway is the coach. But yeah, I think he's coming too. I think his family kind of sees that Arkansas needs him, Memphis wants him.
Right.
And parents, in the recruiting game, go where you're needed.
Yeah. That's good advice.
No. And for sure, from probably the first time he steps on the court here, he's going to be playing, you know, 20 minutes a night now. And probably year two, he's probably a starter, and he probably goes down as – I'm not going to say an all-time great, but I think he has one of those type of careers where he's just going to have been here for so long and got so many stats that he's going to be part of every category. He's going to win a lot of games and get a lot of rebounds, block a lot of shots. He's going to be able to score a lot of points because he's going to play from the first time he steps on campus.
Well, let me ask you this. If they get KK Robinson, Moses Moody, they obviously have Devontae Davis committed, Chris Moore,
right,
and Jalen Williams. They go for five, essentially.
Yeah.
What's that expectation become at Arkansas with their basketball team? Because it's not like it's going to be a Fab Five situation where they're all five stars, but is it going to be where this team not only is going to make the tournament, but it's going to get them back to being to where they, I don't know, Sweet 16? Like, what? How good could they be with all five of these guys coming to Arkansas is the question.
This is where it helps to have Musselman, because with just those five, that's not enough.
Right.
You have to have other guys. That's a great start. That's a great great floor. I also don't think any of those guys are one and done. And I'm not even sure any of those guys are two and out. And so, like, I think that with all those guys, they're going to be playing together for 3 or 4 years, and it's a great core. It's great because you can add a few transfers, you know, before they get here or during that class. You can add a few younger guys behind them, but that could be the core. I think it's really going to be based on how Reggie Chaney progresses, because the only issue I see with those five is they don't have a true big. Jalen, in my opinion, is going to be a stretch forward. He can really pass it.
Yeah.
He can shoot it. At one point in time over the summer, I think he was leading our EYBL team in 3-point percentage. He was shooting like 53% behind the 3-point line. Just very, very skilled. And I don't think they're going to lock him down at the five position. So Reggie Chaney, how does he progress? Connor Vanover, what's he able to add? And then when Musselman goes back to the transfer portal, who's he able to bring in with that class? But so I don't think it's more of that class, like those individuals are going to average, you know, 10 points apiece or 5 assists each or 10 rebounds each. But that's going to set you up with a great core, and you're going to be able to add some transfers before, some guys after. And you're really going to be, they're really, really going to be good, you know, probably year two and year three.
We are the Morning Rush, brought to you by Arvest Bank. Have you checked your mortgage rate lately? A lot of times people forget about their rate and after their loan is closed. Your friends at Arvest Bank would love the opportunity to review your current loan. With Arvest's competitive rates, you might be able to lower your monthly payment, shorten the term of your loan, or both. Arvest services 99% of the loans that they originate, so most of the time you can deal with any of their local branches for all of your mortgage needs. Give them a call today at 479-573-1127 or download the Home For Me app to your mobile device and search the Fort Smith loan officer as well as across the state of Arkansas. That's Arvest Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. And see, this is the thing, Nick, is that with basketball, people are so desperate to have something good going because football's been so terrible. And they're desperate to have something good going. And I don't think, at least I'm not hoping, that anyone believes that this team this year is going to make the NCAA tournament or anything like that. It's just
No. There are people that believe that.
Okay, well, I'm not one of them.
A lot of people.
You don't believe that though, do you?
Come on, man.
Okay, I figure I just a dumb question. But still,
I put that stuff down a long time ago.
Well, there's still some elements though about where people just want to see the progression of this team. But another question I have, because I've heard this too, and I haven't been able to ask you about it. I hear that Isaiah Joe is gone after this year, no matter what.
That's another. Okay, so that is not true.
Okay.
And now, if he performs, yes. But it's not one of those. Who's the last person that we just knew was leaving? That
like 100%?
Yeah, like we just knew.
I guess Gafford after.
Yes. Okay. So it didn't matter what Gafford did his last year.
He was gone.
He was leaving.
Yeah, yes. Everyone knew that.
It's not one of those.
Okay.
It's not one of those. But the people are just speaking it because what they're saying is they just know he's going to go out and average 16 or 17 points a game. He's 6'6", and he's going to shoot 50% behind 3-point line. If those things happen, he's probably going to leave. But it's not one of those that no matter what his draft stock comes back as, no matter, you know, all of the following, then he's automatically gone. It's not, I mean, that's not the case. And I would love for him to get a chance to play with Moody for a year, because I think that Moody has that type of game. I think that he's going to have that type of impact. He can really shoot it. They're a lot more similar than a lot of people are saying. It's just Isaiah Joe was underrated coming out of high school or whatever, whereas Moody's kind of spot on.
Yeah, because that's another element with having Isaiah Joe and the possibility of him coming back next year, and then the situation with Connor Vanover It just seems, and with the recruiting, no one wants to get too excited because of, they've been burnt before when it comes to Razorback athletics when they get too excited too early. But it just seems like there's a foundation being laid to where if they did pull off where they went 5-for-5 with this recruiting class, if they had something like an Isaiah Joe coming back, a Connor Vanover being able to develop a lot to where it just seems like it has the makings to where you'll be back into being a program in this conference to where it's like you and Kentucky type thing very quickly.
And well, like, and they don't even have to go. So to me, they don't have to go 5-for-5 and Isaiah Joe come back.
Right.
You don't have to do that. I think that Musselman will be able to get quality players in the transfer portal. I mean, just think about this for a second. Musselman was hired when?
I mean,
May?
Yeah.
Was it in May or was it April?
It's April, I think.
Like the end of April?
Yeah, May? End of April, yeah.
Yeah, so he starts to recruit in May. Think about all the transfers he got in and how quickly he was able to get those guys in. So you're telling me with a full year of him kind of having in his mind right now, okay, I know I'm going to need this. And then, you know, his coaches or his friends can start to reach out to other players at the halfway point. You're going to know a lot of different guys that are going to want to transfer. You're trying to tell me for a full year, he can't at least do what he did this year. So I think he can go 3-out-of-5, 4-out-of-5. And Isaiah Joe can still leave and he still have a good chance of getting back to the tournament depending on the other things that he does in recruiting. With this transfer portal, if you have a coach that is able to dip in each and every year and mask your deficiencies, that just, I mean, it almost acts as free agency and I'm the Yankees and there is, you know, there's no salary cap.
Right.
Because he's literally able to go in and say, oh, okay, well, we don't have a center. Let me go get one. We don't have a point guard. That's what he did. He sat back, look at the roster. He said, okay, we don't have these five things. And went and got all five of them. Now, of course, the kid who, was his name? Isaiah Moss, who was coming here and then switched at the last minute. Well, that was a freak accident because Kansas thought they were getting a kid, and the kid at the last minute said, no, I'm going to Australia to play professional basketball, and it just so happened they opened up a scholarship. If that happens, I'm not going to blame Musk for not being able to get a certain kid in. But it's like he literally took a step back and said, these are the things that I do not have, and went and got all of it, even down to the African kid he brought in for a practice body, because I think he's going to be asked to leave too because he's terrible.
Is that Bebe?
Yeah. He's horrible. and so like even down to getting practice bodies.
Yeah.
And if you don't think the same thing's about to happen again, watch. And for everybody out there that's trying to crunch the numbers and say, oh, well, how many scholarships? Most of them is going to have as many scholarships.
Yeah.
As he wants and as he needs to get better players in here. So don't wreck your brain about, well, you know, if he gets all five in-state kids and gets a transfer, then Arkansas is going to be four scholarships over. No, at the end of the year, there are going to be guys that are asked to leave. There are going to be guys that they bring into the office and say, hey, you're going to play 0 minutes. This is your senior year. What do you want to do? And at that point, the kid's going to leave. And then if the kid still doesn't leave, they're going to say, okay, well, we're kicking you off. And so now you need to go look elsewhere.
Is that the way it should be handled in college basketball in this day and age? If you're a big time program or trying to be a big time program, should it be handled of saying, listen, even though you've busted your tail for 3 years, I got somebody better. See you later.
You know what happens when you don't have players?
You get fired.
See Chad Morris right now.
Yeah, I agree.
So yes, because I've been ranting on Chad Morris, and it's probably not all his fault. Some of it, he wasn't left with a lot.
Yeah.
And it wasn't his fault that he wasn't left with a lot, but, like, I don't care about none of that. Like, I'm looking at you are a head coach and you can't win any games. So, yes, that is how it should be handled because as a coach, if you don't win basketball games or if you don't win football games, if you don't win games in your current sport, because we've seen soccer coaches get fired.
Yeah.
We've seen the volleyball coaches get fired. We've seen tennis coaches. So if you don't win games in your sport, you will be fired, and then you can no longer provide for your own family. So, yes, I think coaches should be able to come in. And that's also the right way. Kids want to play.
Yeah.
Kids just don't want to just put on a hog uniform or put on a Kentucky uniform or put on a Tennessee uniform just to say they went to Tennessee. And if they do, they would like to do that for 1 year. Then after that, they would like to play. So, yes, coaches should call them in there and say, hey, you are not going to play this year, so kids can go elsewhere and get some playing time.
Do you own a business that needs more security, or maybe you just need a little more curb appeal? A new fence from The Fence Man can give you both, where The Fence Man specializes in custom installations, and they've been doing it for over 40 years. Gates, controlled access card readers. Call The Fence Man, no matter what it is, for a quick no-obligations quote. Give Henry a call at 479-782-3936. That's The Fence Man, 782-3936, a division of Quantum Property Services. And, you know, all the comments that you brought up, Nick, and how, I guess, Razorback basketball has been kind of in a weird way, because since 2002, when Nolan Richardson was fired, you had Stan Heath come in, and we know how that turned out, and we know how the Pelfrey years turned out. But even when Mike Anderson came here, and he got Arkansas back to being a respectable program and all of that, it was weird because for 8 years, Mike Anderson never really handled his team or his program in the same way that most other big-time programs did. Not to say that he did a bad job of it, but, you know, Mike Anderson was a very loyal guy and loyal to his players and loyal to, even if they couldn't play or anything like that, he was very loyal to them. And I think this is where it's kind of weird for Razorback fans to hear that. It's almost like now you got somebody in to where, and I don't know, maybe Mike was like this to an extent too, but you got somebody in that's saying, you know, every single year, it's kind of, if I got somebody better, I'm going with that guy, even though you've been here for a while, even though you've worked for a while.
And, well, and so hang on. I'll say this. It's not going to be as extreme as if you see, okay, oh, well, this kid over here is a transfer. Okay, so for instance, Devontae Davis comes in,
mm-hmm.
and he's playing, and he's progressing, and he's just a solid kid. And then his senior year comes around, and he's a solid player, and you see a kid at another program that may be just a tad bit better. It's not going to be just like everybody's spot is going to be correct. Up for grabs if right. the guy's a little bit better. But that's not what we're talking about. There are guys on this Arkansas basketball team that just can't play.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been able to play since the first time that we saw them in a Hog uniform. And there's just no more room for guys to just be on campus just to be filling a roster spot. And if you are just filling a roster spot, you need to be, you know, Taco Fall. You need to be about 7'5", and then, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
so, you know, or
you got to add something.
Or your granddad needs to be, you know, Rockefeller, Hunt, Tyson,
Jerry
Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's just not time for that. And I think over the last couple of years, Arkansas has been caught in spaces to where like 6 or 7 guys could play. It's almost like an Arkansas high school basketball team. 6 or 7 guys can play, and then the other 4 are going to get minutes just because you have to play a certain amount of game or a certain amount of guys over a long season. So he's just not going to be just kicking people off left and right. But if you are not progressing, then yeah, he's going to ask you to leave because he's going to tell you, hey, you're not going to be playing in this upcoming year. What would you like to do?
Well, JT in Hot Springs texts in and asked about Isaiah McBride and that whole situation because I hadn't heard any more on that.
Is he being funny?
I guess. Isaac McBride.
Oh, okay. So you were being funny.
I was being
funny. I didn't know if he was being funny or if you were being funny.
I was being funny. So I was hoping you'd catch it.
Well, no, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Because at first I was like, hold on, Isaiah.
Isaac McBride.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's coming to Arkansas.
Okay.
I actually talked to him, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago, and I don't think he's coming to Arkansas. I'll say this, though. I am the worst when it comes to recruiting. After giving everybody all that hope about, hey, all these guys are coming to Arkansas, I'm the worst when it comes to recruiting. I have to tip my hat to those guys because, you know, like constantly having to talk to you know, 15 to 18 year olds about, you know, your college decision. What do you want to do? I know how hard it is in AAU. I can only imagine it's 10 times harder for their college decision. Because in AAU, you can decide to come play for the Woods Elite and then you can quit and go play for the Hawks and then you can quit and go play for the Rising Stars or whatever you want to do. But in college, you can't just up and up, quit, and just the transition is not that easy. But no, I do not think that he comes to Arkansas. I do think, though, he ends up at a program, and I think he scores a ton of points over his collegiate career.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were hopeful for him making a return to Arkansas, but just from what I've gathered,
I haven't. And then I think they were hopeful, too, because they've seen what Arkansas has been able to recruit in the past.
Yeah.
And they're looking at guys that maybe should not have been on the roster, and then they get to saying, like, oh, well, he's going to be better than this guy or better than that guy. But you have to kind of look in the future and to just kind of see how the recruiting stage is going to change up. And I will say this. It won't be one of those that, okay, Musselman doesn't take McBride, and then in 2 or 3 years you feel like, oh, okay, well, you should have took McBride because the current guys he's taking can't play. If there is one thing I know for sure, I've seen these guys play a ton of games. Moody, KK, and Devontae David, they all can play basketball at a very high level.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
I failed on this part. I was not able to get the Maddie T news update on the Morning Rush just yet. So this is your chance to make it really good. Okay, because before we get to Andrew Hutchinson, we got to have everybody get their Morning Rush up.
This is the Morning Rush update. The NCAA Board of Governors have begun the process of getting collegiate athletes the opportunities to make profit on their likeness and image.
Finally.
The only thing about this whole story that matters is that NCAA football from EA Sports will be making their game once again in 2021.
Amen. And
nobody's more excited than John Neighbors.
That's right. I am pumped up. I can't wait to actually have pictures and names. That way I don't have to wait and upload them myself. So I'm pumped about
that's
that.
That's going to save you a lot of time.
Time and energy and all that fun stuff. I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
There will be a Game 7 in the World Series as the Nationals defeated the Astros last night by a final score of 7-2. If the Nationals win tonight's Game 7, it will be the first time in MLB history that the road teams have won every game in an MLB 7-game World Series.
I don't know if that's true, but I made it up, just to let you know. So don't blame Maddie if I'm wrong. If he's wrong on that, that's on me. But I don't know. It just sounded right. I wanted to throw some cool stat in there.
Hopefully there's some nice young ladies behind the home plate, you know.
No, I know. Yes, yeah. Yes, these Instagram models. Yes. Hopefully they're there for the game tonight. Let's hope.
And now, John, you're going to have to help me out with this one here, because I see that the Game of Thrones prequel starring Naomi Watts has been canceled before it even started due to filming issues in Ireland, which we thought would be fine because the final season of Game of Thrones was god-awful, but I'm seeing new reports today of another prequel coming.
Yeah, I guess they had two prequels. One of them, I don't know which one this one was referring, but I know there was one with the Targaryens that they were trying to do, and that one's still going on, apparently. But I'm still just triggered by the end of that Game of Thrones.
Hopefully,
finale, so I don't care.
They'll remember to leave the Starbucks cups out of the
The Starbucks cups, and let's just not make a big pile of crap. Let's just start there. Let's just not do terrible at it, and you'll be fine.
Be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. Only available at hitthatline.com.
All right, there you have it. Maddie T with the Morning Rush update. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Andrew Hutchinson of hogbeat.com. Talk a little Razorback football with us. Good morning, Andrew. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How about y'all?
Hey, we're doing awesome, man. And you're a stat guy, so let me just ask you this. Do you know about the whole, like, road team winning every game in the World Series in MLB? Is that true that if the, if it's the Nationals that win tonight, that they are the first team to ever do that, to win all road games? Is that something?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's the first time any road team has won all six games, much less seven. And that's in any sport, whether it be NBA, NHL, or MLB.
Okay, good. So the stat I made up actually ended up being true. So I love to hear that. I can always count on Andrew to help me out with that. So, all right, Hutch, there is still football going on. I know a lot of Razorback fans are hoping that this season would just end, but we are entering into the final four games of the season for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And the number one question, just like it's pretty much been all season long, but this one has a different element about it, is the quarterback situation and who plays, who starts. We see KJ Jefferson. What do you make of this quarterback situation heading into Mississippi State, and what do you think will happen in this game on Saturday?
You know, I truly have absolutely no idea. And honestly, I don't know if the coaches have an idea of what they're going to do. I mean, I think what's going to happen is I think Ben Hicks is going to get the start. I think that's going to make a lot of people unhappy. But I think he's going to get the start. If I was the coach, I would have a very, very, very short leash on him before turning it over to John Stephen Jones. And I would have definitely a package for KJ Jefferson just to see what he can do, because we have no idea what he can do. I've seen him a little bit in practice. I remember during fall camp, I remember watching him pretty closely and observing that he was pretty inconsistent with just his passes. But that's what you'd expect with a true freshman. But you never know what he can do whenever, you know, he gets into a game. He could be a gamer. You know, I know Matt Jones back, you know, several years back, he was not exactly a good practice player, but he would flip the switch and was great in games. I don't know if KJ Jefferson could be a Matt Jones. I'm not saying that, but we don't know what he could be until we actually see him in a game. So I would be surprised if we don't see KJ Jefferson at least a little bit over these next four games. And I just feel like Ben Hicks will get the start, because I think, you know, Chad's still trying to win these games. I know a lot of fans have kind of mailed it in and said, okay, well, this season's lost. Let's at least get a look at the future. You know, Chad's like, man, I need to win some games so that way I have a future. And so I think that's what I think he thinks Ben Hicks is probably his best chance to win the game. But I think John Stephen, we'll still see some of him as well because of how he played against Alabama this past weekend.
Yeah, what do you make of this situation with, like, I'm trying to really figure out, of course, and I think we're all trying to figure out what's the game plan here going in into this game. But it seems like Chad Morris might be in a lose-lose situation, especially when it comes to KJ Jefferson, because if he does not play KJ Jefferson or doesn't play him enough, fans are going to be mad. But I also believe that if KJ Jefferson does play and, say, goes all out and really performs well, and dare I say even is a big part of Arkansas getting a victory against Mississippi State, fans are going to be irate because they're going to say, hey, where was this all season long? Do you see that the kind of being in a situation right now with Chad Morris and where the fans are at with him?
Yeah, I think that's how fans are going to react, but I don't know necessarily if it's a fair way to assess it, because, you know, ideally Arkansas would have blown out Portland State and Colorado State and, you know, the other San Jose State, and you would have been able to get KJ in, so that way you get an idea of what he is and if he is a gamer. Because in practice, you know, I think he is a little bit inconsistent. He isn't exactly, you know, doesn't look like the kind of guy that you would want to put out there as a true freshman. I think the potential is there. I think he's got all the potential in the world, but I knew that he was a little bit raw of a prospect. He's not your typical, you know, four-star that's going to come in and play as a true freshman. He's not a Bo Nix that comes in polished, ready to go. I knew that he was going to need some time to develop. And so I don't necessarily hold it against the coaches. And I think once they got into the season and weren't able to play him in those early games, I think they decided, you know what, we need to, you know, save that red shirt and just see what he can do these last four games. But, of course, the fans are going to, you know, lose their mind and be like, why didn't he play earlier in the season? You know, we might have had a chance to win some of these games, and maybe they had, maybe they would have, but it sounds like he really started making progress during the open week, which was before the Kentucky game, and so maybe he could have made a difference against Kentucky. It was a close loss, but it's not like he would have made a difference against Auburn or Alabama, you know, 41-point losses. So it'll be interesting to see how he looks. And, you know, I'm just anxious to see what he looks like, because I saw him play in high school. He was a little bit banged up the game I saw him play, so I didn't really get to see him run much. But I think he's healthy, and I'm excited to see what he looks like in an actual game.
Yeah, I know a lot of Razorback fans are excited about it. And I think Razorback fans are curious to see how these final four games go, because you have three of these four and being in the state of Arkansas, of course, Mississippi State and Western Kentucky go on the road to LSU, which is, I think, is going to be a loss no matter where you played them. And then you have Missouri and Little Rock to finish out the season. How do you see the next four games playing out for Arkansas? Do they get a victory? Do they get multiple victories? What do you see playing out?
You know, before the season, I predicted Mississippi State as the lone SEC win for Arkansas. I'm not super confident. I don't know if I'm going to stick with that prediction. I haven't really settled in on anything yet. But it would not surprise me if they won this game. Mississippi State is really struggling. They've lost their last four games, I believe it is, by an average of about 20 points. So they have not looked good. That includes, you know, loss to Tennessee. And so it does not look good for Mississippi State. So it would not surprise me if Arkansas won this game. I do think they're going to beat Western Kentucky. That's going to be a game that they're going to get fired up for because it's Ty Story coming back into town. And I think they're, especially if they find a way to beat Mississippi State, I think they definitely beat Western Kentucky. I think they build a little momentum and win back-to-back games for the first time under Chad Morris. So I think that would be kind of a situation. And now Missouri, you know, LSU, as you said, I think that's a loss. But I think there's no way they get to a bowl game because there's no way they're beating LSU in Baton Rouge, barring, you know, I guess if Joe Burrow gets hurt against Alabama or something like that, even if that happens, I mean, we saw what Alabama did with their backup quarterback. Then Missouri's a toss-up. I mean, I could see it happening, anything happening in that game. It's Warren World Stadium. Weird stuff happens down there. And who knows how that plays out. But if I had to guess, I'd say Arkansas maybe goes 1-3. I wouldn't be shocked if they go 0-4 or if they go 2-2. But I think 1-3 is probably the most realistic option for these last four games.
So basing it off that, Andrew, if Arkansas does go 1-3 and the one win coming against Western Kentucky, is Chad Morris returning as coach next year?
I just don't know how you can bring back a coach who goes 0-16 in SEC play. That's something that's never happened in the history of the conference that started in 1933. No coach has ever lost his first 16 SEC games. And I just don't know how you could bring the guy back. I mean, yeah, he inherited a really tough situation, not a good, you know, roster, had to turn it over, had to bring in recruits and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But you still should be able to find a way to win one or two SEC games, not lose to San Jose State, North Texas, Colorado State, you know, and have a competitive game against Portland State. Those things shouldn't happen. So I just don't know. I feel like he really needs to win the Mississippi State game to give himself a chance at a year three. Because I just don't think you can go 0-16 in SEC play. It would be truly historic, and I just don't know if they'd be able to bring him back.
And Andrew, just because I agree with you totally, I think you can't go 0-16 and expect to be back, but. Just assuming that what it plays out where they go 1-3 and they end up going 3-9 and there's changes made, when you're going to look back on the Chad Morris in his first 2 years at Arkansas, what is it the main thing you're going to point to say what went wrong? Why did it go wrong for Chad Morris? And it's not even just going wrong and struggling. I mean, going wrong in one of the most epically terrible stretches in Razorback football history. What would you point out to what went wrong for him?
I think it would have to be the fact that he hasn't been able to find a quarterback. I mean, he's already started five different quarterbacks. If they do start John Stephen down the stretch in any of these games, that would be six different quarterbacks. Who knows what that happens with KJ. But that's just, there's no consistency. And, I mean, Chad himself has said that if you look across college football, the one thing good teams have is they have consistency at the quarterback position. Not everyone's going to have a Jalen Hurts or a Tua Tagovailoa or a Joe Burrow, but you're at least going to have somebody who is back there for every game and is steady for you. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks Bo Nix is lighting the world on fire as a true freshman, but he's kind of guiding the ship, and Auburn's a top 25 team. You know, they got a great defense and everything like that, but you need some consistency at the quarterback position, and I think that's probably going to be the thing that dooms Chad Morris. I think if they have consistency at the quarterback position, you don't lose to San Jose State. You probably find a way to beat Kentucky. You probably don't lose to North Texas as bad as you did last year. Maybe even beat them. So I think that's really the thing that's doomed Chad Morris. It's just not being able to find a consistent quarterback. You know, whether it was last year going with Ty Story all the way, knowing that Cole Kelly wasn't the guy, or if it's this year, knowing that Nick Starkle right out the gate, you know, maybe he gives you a better chance to beat Ole Miss, or, you know, just sticking with Ben Hicks the entire way, you know, throughout fall camp, not bringing in another quarterback. So I just think that if they would have been able to find a consistent quarterback, then it wouldn't have been as bad as it's been. And that probably would be enough to save Chad Morris's job.
Andrew Hutchinson of hogbeat.com. You can follow him on Twitter at NWA Hutch. He does a great job covering the Razorbacks. Appreciate you hopping on with us, Andrew, man. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll be catching up with you later, all right?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, appreciate it, man. All guests and Andrew as well joins us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on The Morning Rush.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, it is a Wednesday. What is means? It means it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday. So let's go ahead and jump right into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. If you need help with pain management, stress, maintaining focus, or any more of your issues, if you're beefing with a lot of things, you need some CBD American Shaman products. Their CBD oil is derived from all-natural, high-quality industrial hemp. It's 100% organic, gluten-free, non-GMO hemp that has no heavy metals or insecticides. And the standards they use to make their oils are the highest quality on the market today and is 9 times more bioavailable, making their products faster and more efficiently absorbed by the body. CBD American Shaman is concerned with the welfare of customers and has a compassionate care program with the discounts for folks with chronic conditions who are in low income and for veteran situations. CBD American Shaman has locations in Fort Smith, Fayetteville, and Rogers. Find out more by heading over to their website at cbdamericanshaman.com. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and kick off What's Your Beef Wednesday. And Maddie, we're going to see if this works because we have the music playing, and I always screw this up. And if I screw it up, I'm just going to own it. Music's playing. I have a clip that I'm going to play. We're going to see if we can do them at the same time. Because for whatever reason, I can never get this right. Here is my beef. Y'all know the ABC song, right?
Yeah.
Like A, B, C, D.
Yeah. I mean, you've learned that probably in high school,
oh,
right?
Sure. Oh, I thought you were talking about Michael Jackson.
No, not that Michael
Jackson. I mean, yes. Me. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the child's, the alphabet song that from the children? You know, A, B, C, D,
the
E, F, G. Yes. The one that you learned.
Thank you. The other ABC song. Don't say the ABC song.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I got to be more specific. Well, anyways, the one that we all learned as children was always A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V.
And L, M, N, O is one long.
Is one just L, M, N, O, P. Well, anyways, apparently they have officially changed the song.
Huh?
Yeah, officially changed the song. Take a listen to this.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N.
I'm out. Listen, I mean
V W X Y Z.
Nope, I'm done with that. So
that's, I'm glad that my daughter was not had learned the ABC song a few years back. Yeah. And she will not go through this.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Like it's kind of like the same thing how parents feel this day with this Common Core math thing that it's just like the way we did it before was fine. Like, I don't think anybody, and I don't know, maybe kids these days.
Musically, it doesn't sound good. I see what they want you to space the letters out so you don't just, they don't all run together.
I get it too.
Hey, listen, that's not why little Johnny cannot pass third grade. Because
there's other issues.
Because he didn't know that there was no such thing as elemento.
Yeah.
that is not why. So. Yeah.
Well, see, that was my whole thing is like I could understand if there was some severe struggles. But I'm like, I remember learning this song and I don't remember thinking that there's just not enough time between the letters that I say when elemento comes in.
You were rushing through it.
Yeah.
Everything. Okay. So, and this is part of my beef too. All everything right. doesn't need a remake. Everything doesn't need to be changed.
Yes. There are that some goes for
things,
a lot of
there are some things that need to be left as is. And it seems like every time I turn around and I understand Disney, you have to recapture a new audience, but it's like either put the stuff that we were watching while we were young, either put better graphics to that, but like stop remaking things, stop changing things that are great, including the ABC song.
Yeah. I'm for that.
None of my future kids will ever hear that song.
And one thing about the remakes, it's not like they're remaking them better.
Yeah. They're
always lesser remakes.
Yeah.
You know?
And see, and that's...
It doesn't
and
improve on anything.
And this could be one of my beefs. This is my, you know, I call it a Tommy Kraft beef because Tommy Kraft can beef about the same things every single week. But that's my Tommy Kraft beef is just these remakes and reboots. Because I was thinking about it, and I think we even talked about it, the only reboot or remake or however you want to say that I thought was better than the original was the True Grit movie.
Oh, you think?
I thought they're both great. I just thought that the new True Grit that, you know, had was star-studded.
It's grittier.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. It is grittier. It's closer to what actually happened in the book, too. Uh-huh. Nothing against John Wayne. Love the Duke, but that's like one of the few. But every one of them, like these Disney remakes especially, is I want to punch myself in the face.
At the very best, they're tolerable. They're never
at best. Yeah, yes, at best. And it's like now they got the remaking the Little Mermaid. They're remaking Mulan, which I actually think might have a chance. But it's like, don't mess with the classics. And it's to me, it's lazy. It's cash grab, and I know that may be shocking to everybody that the Disney Corporation's about money. But I mean, I know it's very shocking to everybody if you've ever been to Disney World.
They used to just reopen the vault,
and they would re-release
it for a whole new generation. Now it's like, how about your kids never see the original and we just make a crappier version of it with Will Smith?
And you can throw Jane.
And then they have like five people that they use for everything.
Yeah. But it's like they try. That was, I think, what made me madder about Aladdin and the remake of that. Because like nothing against Will Smith. I love Will Smith. But you're not going to be able to top Robin Williams, man.
And he's basically doing a Robin Williams impression.
Yeah, it's like a Robin. Exactly. It's like you're not going to be able to top that.
Which I watched it yesterday, by the way. So, fresh in my mind.
And my next beef is y'all should read more...
books in general?
I think... No. I think that y'all should read more of the text on the show. That's a beef of mine,
about?
Too.
We've been doing that all day long.
Like Baz and Flippin that says the Lion King remake was pretty good.
Well, no, I was thinking more of the guy that was talking about me and how great I am.
Oh, okay.
Nick's the coolest guy.
Jason from the 479 texted into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. His beef, why isn't Nick on the show more often?
I just happened to turn around.
I think you sent that in yourself. Get that number again.
Yeah. Hey, but you know, and this is so funny, and I tell people this all the time. If I was on the show more, y'all would be texting John saying, man, y'all got to get this dude off of the show.
Well, it's amazing that it's like we'll either have somebody on too much or somebody on not enough. There's never a good, healthy balance.
Happy medium.
Let me be the one that's on not enough.
You'd rather have people in demand.
More, you know?
Yeah. You want people to have demand of it all. So, but
I think people are just starting to forget about the month thing. So,
You brought it up. Now you just reminded them again about it.
You know what was funny? Huh. The other day, y'all asked me a recruiting question.
Yeah.
And I started talking about it. And a guy tweeted me. He said, "This sounds great, but I remember the parts you played in the Hmong drama." And I was like, "What?"
Yep.
The most random thing.
Nick Mason was the puppet master behind the whole ordeal. Yeah. He was part of the whole ruse. Yeah, that's not true. But we get that a lot too. We get that a lot for a lot of different reasons. All right, Matty T, who you going with?
We're gonna run out of bed music, but I'll be.
That's fine. You can make it work.
Mine is the daylight savings time.
Okay.
I get that one time of the year, everybody's cool. It's like, hey, we get an extra hour, but you forget 6 months later, you're going to lose that hour. And guys like us in morning radio now, I'm already dreading when spring comes around and, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning turns into 3 a.m. all of a sudden. So, yeah, it's cool. Like this weekend, it'll be cool.
Yeah.
But it's going to mess me up in the springtime and it's going to take me, you know, a month to get back in the routine. So I think it's the dumbest thing. Look, you don't have to get your kids, you know, home early now to do farming anymore. You know,
you need to get better daylight
and stuff. So yeah, we don't have to worry about that. Let's get rid of daylight savings time. That's my beef. And
that's fair.
At this point, even though we're getting that hour, I'm already upset about the spring.
Well, because isn't it, I think it's like what the state of Arizona actually has it banned. Like they don't do, I think it's Arizona that has no daylight savings times, but yeah, I never understood it. I just,
kind of just part of society.
It takes me so long to get back to adjust. We have these things called internal clocks, it messes me up.
The best feeling ever, though, is if you're out partying and you get that extra hour, and you can really feel it because you can kind of say, okay, now it's time to wind down. You look at your watch, like, oh, I got another hour.
Because I know, like, here's the positive, too. It's on a weekend, at least. Because if it was, like, on a Tuesday,
at least it's on a Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night heading into Sunday. So at least it's that.
If you got to plan ahead, but I mean, we shouldn't have to be worrying about that.
No, but I don't know anybody that sits back and says, man, I love daylight savings time.
Yeah.
It makes it different in my life.
First world problem.
I'm telling
you. I was really having a hard time thinking of something to complain about.
Let me see. Should I drive my Mercedes or my BMW this morning?
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, Dave and Fable, by the way, just text says, no, Nick, totally reminds me of Monk. Yeah, because you said you brought it up.
Hey, look, and shout out to Monk. That's my guy.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like that, and like people are going to be, because today, just like it's clockwork when we do a What's Your Beef Wednesday, somebody texts in or tweets in or Facebook messages, Reggie Fish. Like, it is still to this day getting brought up. Somebody on our Facebook page said that they're mad about Reggie Fish. To this day. It's like, they're never going to give it up. And, of course, most people had to deal with, of course, situation with Arkansas football and how they're so upset and mad about that as well. So it's just all bad all around. Let's just understand that, people are just mad, man. They're upset and they don't want to deal with this crap anymore.
You know what? I'm going to name my first son Jason and my next son Cody. Shout out to Jason and Cody, man.
What'd Cody say? Why don't you read it for us, Nick?
It just said something about Nick being on the show. So the more appearances, the more money. I appreciate you, Cody.
He says, seriously, as long as basketball season is in session, Nick is Nick on the show. Well, yes, Nick is our basketball expert here on The Morning
Rush.
We've
told people that in the business. We've told people that for so long that these fools believe it.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen.
How foolish of you guys.
Well, to me, an expert is somebody that just knows more than me. So, you know more about basketball than me. So, there's a lot of experts out there that we have on the show.
Yeah.
So, I'll just go with that. But here's the thing about Nick is that, Nick's got he's a busy man. You know, he's not just lying around waiting for us to text him to come on the show. He's got business to take care of.
So. I actually was just kind of sitting around this week. Yeah.
Thanks for completely destroying that.
Normally, though, he's really busy.
For
the most part.
He's really busy going to Vegas on private planes.
Hey, I'm actually going to Vegas Friday.
See, there you go. So that's the schedule of one Nick Mason.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.